much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Muppet Telethon. We have Muppets standing by to take your calls.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to. Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's. Nobody. Okay. Back to Wants. Sorry, Wants. Bear with me for a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Man, these white folks is f***ing crazy.
I think the CIA is controlling my thoughts.
No, we're not.
Oh, I guess they're not.
Choke on your lies!
And now...
What's wrong with the lowest common denominator? Hey! That's what this country was built on!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 9th of November.
Hey, Bean. And,
what?
There was just such a long pause. What's going on?
Nothing.
It's you okay? Okay?
Yeah, okay.
All good.
Yeah, just, you know, just pre-partying for the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, just getting psyched up for that. Got a big show. We'll be having on representatives from the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum. And
wow.
Try to get Gordon Lightfoot back on the phone and just do all the usual November 10th stuff that we look forward to every year.
What show are you doing?
Right?
Talking about our show.
No, you're not.
Tribute to the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, you're not.
No.
Well, it's kind of an annual tradition.
That's cute. No, you got a podcast now.
Well,
you can do it all day if you want. You can do a marathon if you want.
The Fitz is too big for just a podcast.
No.
But, yeah, looking forward to tomorrow.
It's a big day.
Yeah.
So got that, going on.
Remember that time when all those people died a long, long time ago and no one cares about it anymore?
Well, first of all,
that's
a lot of people
tomorrow's
care about
show.
It. It's 42 years since the wreck. And let me tell you what I found out, by the way. Well, I should save it for tomorrow.
Yes,
for sure. Tomorrow, around 10:02.
Saturday, we're all coming in for it.
Yeah, we're going to do a special Kevin and Bean show.
Right.
We're going to do a full 4.5 hours on the Fitz tomorrow. And we're gonna
5 to noon on Saturday. You can
all your
Fitz
questions will be answered. Well, I'm excited. I know you are, too. You're just playing it cool. I get it.
What'd you guess that substance is right there?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's just a little...
Yeah, you don't want to know where he's pointing.
I mean, it's just a counter.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I wasn't looking.
Is it a dollop?
No.
Is it a smear?
I'm gonna say it's about 10 cc's.
Oh,
that
my
is
gosh.
Concerning.
I don't like anything.
That's concerning.
I'm just saying.
And Roddy doesn't work here anymore, right? So.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, thank you, Chip. She just wiped it up. All right, all good.
Clean that up. That's.
I'm just saying, that was disturbing.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of 10 cc's, thank you for the segue, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Allie, you're familiar with the morning show in Britain that Susanna Reid and Piers Morgan do?
Oh, Good Morning Britain, sure.
Very popular show over there. It's their Today Show.
Oh,
it's very popular.
No.
What?
I know what you're going to. Ugh.
The Sperminator?
Yes.
Yeah, the Sperminator was on TV this week. He is a man, I feel like we've talked about him before. He is a college professor. His name is Ari Nagel. He is 42 years old, and I don't know how this got started. Allie, maybe you do. Please jump in. But he has a unique lifestyle. He offers his services to women who want children. They don't have a partner, but they want children, so he offers to be the Sperminator. He's the sperm donor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting and what has made him a little bit of a celebrity in Britain, I think, is that the method is decided by the mother. So sometimes it's in a clinic. Sometimes it's just in a cup. Sometimes it's in person. And people are...
I feel like if you get to be really good, you could just demand in person.
Right.
You just go, you look, if you want it, I got it. But you're going to have to come get it.
Right.
Oh, dear.
What's the deal with Mr. Nagel, Allie, in that quite a few women have chosen the in-person option, do you think?
I don't know. And a lot of the women that have chosen the in-person are lesbians. That have never been with a man before.
Well, yes. And that came up on the story because Piers Morgan was very annoyed. And, you know, Piers Morgan gets annoyed about a lot of things. But he was very annoyed. And he said, look, he said, I want you to address those people who believe that you are the world's biggest creep. Piers said something to the effect of, this is just some way to get threesomes with lesbians. I mean, that's really what's going on. So there's just a little piece of tape from the interview that's available that I was able to find. But here is Mr. Nagel addressing that claim.
But, yeah, sometimes that happens. Ultimately, it's really up to the moms, and sometimes they feel more comfortable being in the room because sometimes it's obviously new for her. She's never really slept with a guy before. So
his Friday night is, well, I'm going over to another lesbian's house and going to have a threesome.
Are we buying
them.
That?
Yes. It is true.
Really?
He has 29 children. He has provided the... the essence for 29 children with 24 different women.
The essence.
Right. I'm saying in person. Has that been checked?
I mean, I don't see lesbian couples
going, you know what? We want a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So who's going to take the bullet? You? Okay. You have to sleep with him. I don't see that happening.
You think he's making it up?
Yes.
Really? Interesting.
I do.
Don't.
Okay.
Look, I don't know anything about what's going on in the mindset of people who decide to have children, but maybe it's the type of thing that they want to both be a part of. Maybe that would be the answer to your question here, is that both ladies get a chance to be involved in the process.
I mean,
they get to be there when the baby is hatched.
See, now
hatched is weird. Yeah. the shot, maybe. He makes it seem like he's having sex with one lady and the other lady's just in the room. It's not really like a threesome. She's just there to kind of make sure everything goes okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's quality control.
Quality control, exactly.
And to make sure her wife doesn't enjoy it too much.
Probably.
Perhaps.
Maybe
that's part of it.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here.
I'm
just calling BS. Okay. There's something wrong here.
Are you now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's more of the interview with the Sperminator.
They want to be there for moral support or maybe also to play an active role in the baby-making process.
Right. I mean, a cynic, Ari, would say, you know, you're just a very smart guy. You're a college professor. You just wants to have threesomes with lesbians.
That's certainly one of the perks, but no. That's not why I'm doing it. And of course,
a really interesting talking point as to whether what you do, like I said at the start, is creepy or actually provides a very valuable service. So we thank you for joining us.
Piers was having none of it, by the way.
Yeah, why can't it be creepy and a valuable service? Why not both?
And how did this guy get to be the guy, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
how are people searching out his services? Like,
right.
Or I assume some guys just have really potent sperm. Like, they get it done.
Well, that's a good point because it could be – it's a very expensive process, right?
Uh-huh.
And if his sperm is potent enough that he's almost going to guarantee to get you pregnant with one, you know, with one treatment.
Yep, we know.
Then maybe he's a deal. And, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a good-looking guy. I mean, he probably checks off some boxes of what people are looking for in the father to their child.
Yeah.
But I thought it was an interesting story. So, Kevin, you're just calling BS on the lesbians,
you
huh?
Liar! He's certainly not having threesomes with lesbians.
No, I don't
that
think so
That just doesn't
so
make
either.
Any sense.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It makes no sense. The thing about lesbians is they like to have sex with women.
Right, and he said in the tape that we played, though, he said that sometimes they're just there for, you know, the other one is just there for moral support, the one who's not doing the heavy lifting.
I would say all of them are there for moral support. They're not actually active participants. I think he's BSing on that.
He's making it up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we might have to look into this deeper.
We might need to have the Sperminator on.
Let's talk to the Sperminator. That's the answer.
Okay.
Who wants to do that?
Theme.
Less than us.
I think that's really more of an alley job. Than
I am. I'll
you're
the
lady. The
interview. Sure.
Oh, let's get him on the phone. No question. No question. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
I can't. I don't even know what to say. It makes me sick. I want to barf every time I get near it. I can't take it anymore.
Hopefully we'll get the Sperminator before the end of the show. Very excited about that. Dr. Drew's on the show, like he is on Thursdays. Speaking of Thursdays, Jim Rome is on the show. We've got your tickets for Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl. We've got your Clippers-Lakers tickets. And a little fellow by the name of Neil deGrasse Tyson. joins us in studio in the 7 o'clock. Got your tickets for Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
In for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What you talking about?
Let's talk about what day it is. It's Neon Sign Day. Go to an art museum today day. Carl Sagan Day.
Oh, what a perfect day, right? To have Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Exactly. And Scrapple Day.
Scrapple.
Oh, Ralph's going to be sad he missed that.
Is that? It's mostly a Pennsylvania thing, right? Like a Dutch thing?
I think so, yeah. This is the, you eat the parts of the pig that nobody else eats, right? That's what that's about. They just, everything that's left over at the end, they just put into a sausage, like casing, and you eat that.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Cornmeal and flour and stuff, and it's like a loaf. Is it a loaf? Why do I keep saying loaf?
I don't know. I prefer
worst
you didn't.
Word.
I hope it is a loaf.
Loaf.
Ralph would be rolling over in his grave right now if he could hear this conversation.
Pleased. Right?
Yeah. Wasn't he going to bring us Scrapple once?
I think we declined.
Okay. All right. Good times.
It's a near miss.
Yeah, it was. Well, congratulations to friend of the show, friend of Kevin, Mr. Bob Saget. He is now engaged.
Yay!
Yeah. He announced the happy news on Instagram in a picture with another couple. It said, love the people in this picture, the most loving and legendary George Shapiro, Katie Killian, and of course my gal Kelly. In case you're wondering, we were celebrating our engagement, and I know George and I will be very happy together. Yeah, Bob Saget, engaged.
How about that?
Exactly. I don't know much about his girlfriend, Kelly. I know she's 38, and she's a food and travel blogger, and she has a streaming series called Eat, Travel, Rock.
Okay. Bob seems very, very happy.
He does.
He seemed really happy a while ago just telling us about her.
Mm-hmm. And she's the one.
She's the one, you guys. It's very exciting. Poor George, though.
Right?
I mean.
Left out in the cold.
Right? That's kind of sad. I didn't know this was happening tomorrow, but tomorrow will be Morrissey Day here in Los Angeles. The L.A. City Council decided to salute him for having his two sold-out shows at the Hollywood Bowl, and he'll be presented with an official commemorative certificate before his show at the Bowl on Friday by Mayor Eric Garcetti, because nothing screams Morrissey like, here's a certificate.
Right?
I feel like he is going to love that.
That is true.
He doesn't get a key to the city or anything cool like that? Or he doesn't get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Nothing more permanent?
Yeah, it just says official commemorative certificate.
Yeah.
So, I assume it'll be in a frame.
I would assume so as well.
So, that's nice. And then Morrissey will be back in L.A. November 17th through the 19th to host a pop-up shop on Melrose Avenue to celebrate the release of his new album, Low in High School. And then, of course, he'll be back for night two of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. I mean, he's going to be in L.A. a lot.
He is, yeah.
I think he mostly lives in L.A., doesn't he?
Well, then he won't have to travel far.
Right.
Right. I woke up to the best news of my life, you guys.
Wow, best news of your life.
I mean, it's been a rough go of things.
So okay.
This is huge news for me. The Discovery Channel announced yesterday that the Emmy award-winning series Cash Cab is returning Monday, December 4th.
And that's,
I enjoy Cash Cab.
You didn't watch Cash Cab, Kevin?
I watched enough to get the idea of it. Sure.
Okay, if people don't know it, you're just getting into a cab. You assume you're going to wherever your destination is. You sit down, and the host, Ben Bailey, turns around, and he's like, welcome to Cash Cab. And the whole cab lights up. Lights start going all over the place. And then you play a trivia game.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, the more answers you get right, the more money you get right.
Right.
But then if you get answers wrong, they add up, and then he boots you from the cab.
He kick you out of the cab,
You have to get out.
Got to get out. Even if you're not at your destination.
Even if you're nowhere near your destination. It is the greatest show.
All right.
It's pretty good.
I'd like to go back to the beginning of the story where you said you woke up to the best news of your life.
I mean, it's up there. I have missed this show so much. It got to the point where when I was in New York, I used to let like little cabs go by. I would always wait for like the bigger van cabs because I'm like, just in case it's the cash cab. Literally would do that. And my friends are like, you're not getting in the cash cab. I'm like, I might.
He did. He was a great host, too.
Great host.
And he also was driving.
Yes.
This wasn't trickery. This wasn't photo trickery. He literally is driving the cab in addition to running a game show, which I thought seemed dangerous. But he was very good at it.
I mean, team.
Dangerous. Take the fun out of everything.
Well, he's looking in the back seat a lot while he's driving. That's all. But he did a great job. And as far as I know, he never got into an accident.
Well, there's going to be some surprise guests.
Oh.
One of which we can talk to on Friday, Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Matthew Perry, Brooke Shields, Scott Bakula, Dave Foley, and Curb Your Enthusiasm's Jeff Garlin and Susie Essman. I want them in my cash cab so bad.
Agreed.
It wasn't a celebrity-based show at all before.
It wasn't, but they're going to be special guests.
Okay.
So who knows if he, swings by to pick them up? Because, you can yell out of the cab to ask people questions.
Right.
Maybe they're the people you can ask questions to. Listen, I don't have the answers. All I know is Monday, December 4th, is already in my iCal.
All right, we got to get Ben back on.
Oh, my God, I love him so much.
Dave, make it so.
Cannot wait. All right, guys. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? Actor Lou Ferrigno is 66. Rapper Sandra Denton, perhaps you know her as Peppa, she's 53. Wrestler Chris Jericho is 47. Nick Lachey is 44. Singer Sisqó is 39. You know his song, Kevin. Let me see that song.
I think that's enough.
How much more we got? All right. Also, Vanessa Lachey's birthday. She's 37. Husband and wife.
Yeah.
That's cool. French Montana is 33. And actor Finn Cole is 22. You know him from Animal Kingdom. And Peaky Blinders. It's coming back next week, you guys. Oh, my God. What I'm Allie McKay happening in for Ralph Garman, walking the show with Speed.
Tell you how you can win those Morrissey tickets for this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl coming up in 5 minutes. Give you a chance to call in. First, though, two questions for you guys.
Yes.
Number one is, would you ever honk your horn at a police car in front of you at an intersection if the light were green and the police officer did not go?
Are his lights on?
His lights are not on.
Yeah.
You would honk at a police officer.
I would give him a little tap. A little tap honk.
Like a...
Allie, how about you?
It depends on how long I was waiting there.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'd probably let it go for a bit thinking he'll look up.
At some point.
At some point.
Right.
So you'd give him the benefit of the doubt maybe a few more seconds than you would an average pedestrian if it was a police officer.
Okay. I mean, I would probably give him a little more time as well than just a random person.
All right, so that's question one.
Okay.
Question two is, if you do honk your horn, what would you think about the police officer then getting out of his car, coming over, and giving you a ticket?
For honking your horn?
Yes.
I would be angry.
Cool or not cool?
Not cool.
Nah. Well, let me tell you that it is. I have seen this twice. Well, once in the news and once on Curb Your Enthusiasm in the last 2 weeks. Now, maybe Larry David is – maybe what happened to Larry is not real life, but it was pretty funny. Damon Wayans is the police officer, and Larry David does exactly as I've described. He honks at an intersection at the cop, and here's what happens.
Sir, I don't appreciate the aggressiveness of the beep.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? This is my friend's car, and I'm not really attuned to the subtleties of the horn yet. It was merely just a reminder beep, but a subtle way of telling you, time to go. Let's get moving. Moving on.
License and registration, please. I'm going to write you a ticket.
A ticket?
It was a bad decision on your part to honk at a police officer.
Oh, what? Why? Are you above the beep?
Absolutely. I'm a police officer. I protect your rights.
My rights to beep. That's one of my rights.
Yeah, but you don't...
Beeping! That's a right! That's America. We're allowed to beep.
Yeah, well, I'm allowed to write this ticket.
So he gets a ticket, and then... So that's two Sundays ago. All right, so this past Friday in St. Louis, Scott Smith is the man's name. He and two coworkers are returning to work downtown from having lunch, and they are stopped at a red light at an intersection in St. Louis. The light turns green. The vehicle in front of them, which turns out to be an unmarked police car, by the way, fails to move. Mr. Smith said, the light turned green, the car in front of me just sat there. So I honked once, he started to scoot forward, and then he just kind of hit the brakes real hard. So I honked again. He started to go forward. Then he kind of threw his arms up, but he still wasn't moving. He was still blocking the way. So then I laid on the horn as he slowly crept forward. And then right as he got through the intersection, he pulled to the far left lane. So this guy doesn't know it's a police officer in front of him.
Right.
But as soon, so the police officer pulls over to the side of the road. And as soon as Scott Smith drives by, the police officer flips on his lights and pulls him over and gives him a ticket.
Huh.
We don't know for what, by the way. The police officer did not tell him what the ticket was for. Mr. Smith has to wait until it arrives in the mail to find out what it was. But what's interesting about this story is, as the police officer came up to the car, he started recording on his cell phone. And I think you guys are going to be surprised by this tape because, A, most of us are on our best behavior when somebody's getting ready to write us a ticket.
Yeah, true.
Or when we're trying to get out of a ticket being written. If a police officer is there, we are yes sir, no sir, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Most of us, not Scott Smith, man. He is going for it. And the officer is giving it right back. This is a very contentious conversation, more so than I've heard in most police encounters.
Seriously?
Seriously, is your horn stuck?
Is your brace?
Is your f***ing horn stuck, smartass?
What the f*** is this?
What the f***? Is this? Let me see your driver's license.
By the way, aren't you stunned by hearing this?
Oh, my
the police?
God.
This is like the opposite. Most cops are so nice and so respectful and keep things so cool because it's in their best interest to not escalate a situation on the side
Although
of the road.
Although the driver
either.
Sounded like he said something first.
Yeah.
No, the cop was the first one to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's getting worse.
This is f***ed up.
Good. Let me see your driver's license.
I will.
For what? Let
Honking?
Me see your driver's
For
license.
For what?
By the way, let me just butt in here and say, I think it's completely legitimate to ask what kinds of tickets are being considered at this point.
Not without giving him
yeah.
your license.
You have to give your license.
Okay.
And then you can ask whatever questions you want, but he doesn't have to tell you. It sounds
really?
Very fightable, though, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be curious to see how this one plays out, too. All right, there's more.
For what?
Tell you what, you're going to either show me your driver's license or you're going to wind up getting a ticket. I'll tow your car and lock
for
you
For what?
Let me see your driver's license.
For what?
You're being stopped for a traffic violation. Let me
for
see your
honking
license.
At someone who's sitting at a green light? F***ing ridiculous.
Sorry, what'd you just say?
I said this is f***ing ridiculous.
Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be a f***ing asshole.
You're sitting at a green light. I have to go back to work.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I hope you're not in a hurry because you're going to be delayed for a little while.
So...
Cool.
He calls him an effing jack-off as he walks off, by the way. The cop does. The cop says that about the driver. So the cop then calls for backup, by the way, and the driver sits on the side of the road with his two coworkers trying to come back from lunch and go to work for 45 minutes.
Wow.
And Mr. Smith says, I was already late. I had coworkers with me. I think he just was wasting my time just trying to get back at me, you know, for honking at him. He said, like I said, he still doesn't know what the ticket is for. He didn't give him a copy of the ticket. The police officer said that the device that prints out the tickets in his car was broken so that he couldn't hand it to
this
him.
This is
but
all shaky.
It would be arriving in the mail.
Can I take a stab here and say
yes.
Scott Smith is a white man?
I think so, yeah.
He's real lucky. Because that's some BS. He was combative from the first freaking second that the cop mm-hmm. came up. F that guy.
He was combative, but you understand why he was combative. Because he honked at a guy who wouldn't go through an intersection, but, and that guy then turned out to be a cop and came up and tried to give him a ticket.
But he also said, was your horn stuck? Like, he wasn't just like, boop, boop.
Oh, he laid on it. He yeah. laid on it the third time. Yes, exactly.
I give a tap and then a little more firm, and then you yeah. do lay on it the third
That's
time.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Third time.
Is that illegal?
I don't know.
See, I don't know, but the
it
code is...
It might be
is
like a noise thing.
Yeah, that may end up being what
You're
it is.
You're not allowed to honk your horn?
You are,
I have,
but just
I have
not
heard,
in excess, maybe?
And I have heard in the past that your horn is to be used in an emergency situation to try to avoid injury or accident or to alert somebody to something dangerous or something like that. I don't know. And the rules may vary from state to state as well. But I am going to keep an eye on this story and see what the see more out of St. Louis, see what happens. But a fascinating
Scott
story.
Smith sounds like a dick.
Let's squeeze in Rick in Pasadena. Hi, Rick.
Oh, does he have info?
Yeah.
What's going on, guys? You know what? That actually just happened to me a couple weeks ago. I live right here in Pasadena. And you know when the police officers come up to the intersection, they kind of back off from the cars in front of them. Well, we had a green light. And, of course, I'm a little arrogant. I have my insurance, my license, and everything. So I'm like, he was sitting there, and there's all these cars behind us. So I actually tapped my horn, and I'm like, okay. And he still wouldn't move forward. So he finally moved forward, and I went around, and he pulled me over. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. So so once we got to the side of the road, I had my, you know what, I'm already smart enough. I had my insurance and my license right there. And he grabbed it, and I go, seriously, did you pull me over? And he goes, well, you were honking your horn. I said, yeah, but you were blocking the intersection. And he's like, well, you're not supposed to be. I'm like, are you going to give me a ticket or what? Because I'm in a hurry. I was in a hurry as well. So
Rick is also a dick. I love it.
Everybody's mouthing off to the cops anymore.
All right, go ahead.
So he ended up he ended up giving me the, I could give you a ticket, this or this kind of attitude. And I'm just, you know what, do what you need to do. And I don't know if he could, if it was legal or illegal that I honked my horn, but I get it. I mean, literally, he was blocking the intersection for everybody else to turn. So like you said, it was an emergency, and it could have been a hazard, too. So that's my story. He did ticket me, but he let me go. But he did pull me over and give me a hassle.
Wow. This is bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky it wasn't a sheriff's department, because they're kind of, I can't say them, you know. But
all right. Thank you for the call, Rick. Appreciate it.
Rick's making friends everywhere. Right.
By the way, that's what Rick sounds like at 6:30 in the morning. I wonder what he sounds like he got pulled over, right? All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story and keep you posted. Let's clear the lines right now and give away some Morrissey tickets. As you know, he is coming to town this weekend. We are very excited. He's playing the Hollywood Bowl. Both shows are sold out Friday night and Saturday night. We are looking for Morrissey fans right now. If you want to play a game to win these tickets, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll do it next on. Ali, you were doing some research there during Green Day. What did we find out? Is it illegal to honk your horn at somebody at an intersection?
It's all so vague. The wording is so vague, and I can't figure it out. We need to talk to a police officer.
It's illegal unnecessarily.
Like unnecessary.
So who's deciding that? Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. All right, cool stuff. Hey, Morrissey, you guys, Friday and Saturday night, that's this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl. We are giving away tickets right now. We got lots of Morrissey fans on the line. It's time to play Total Recall.
That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl. Oh, yeah. Total Recall. Morrissey at the Bowl. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah.
What is wrong with Omar?
A lot.
10 seconds, 5 items. It's as simple as that. We'll give you the category. All you have to do is come up with 5 items in 10 seconds, and you win tickets to see Morrissey this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl. Who is our first contestant, please?
Victor in Riverside. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
All right, Victor, listen up. Suede Head is, of course, one of Morrissey's most popular songs, and while you could certainly cover your living room couch or chairs with suede, that is far from the only option. In 10 seconds, name for me, please, 5 other materials that you can use to cover furniture with. Good luck.
Blanket, plastic, tarp, sheets.
I mean, I guess sheets. I guess you could.
Sure.
Yeah, we were looking for linen or leather or velvet, satin, mohair. Lots of good options. Thank you for playing. Sorry you did not win.
I got the velvet. Luis in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Luis, you're a big Morrissey fan. You excited about the shows this weekend?
Yes, excited. I haven't seen them in so many years.
Okay. Great. Well, good luck to you. Here we go. Morrissey's last name is actually... Well, Morrissey. His real first name is Stephen, but he is far from the only famous Steve or Stephen. Here's your job. Name for me 5 other celebrity Steve or Stevens in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Wow. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Steve
Sorry.
Or Stephen. Steven or Steve?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. You couldn't come up with a... I mean, no offense, you seem like a nice man, but you couldn't think of one person named Steve in the world?
Well, famous.
Nope.
Steven Spielberg or Colbert or Steve Carell?
Thank you.
Steve Aoki? Okay. Steve Harvey? I mean, there's lots. Oh, Steve. Steve Martin?
Let's go to Manny in Whittier. Hi, Manny.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I mean, Steve Jobs.
Right, we got it. Okay. There's Steve's.
That was pretty hard, man.
Yeah, okay. Well, plus the pressure's on. 10 seconds on the clock. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Morrissey famously does not allow the concert venue that he plays to serve any meat because, duh, meat is murder. In 10 seconds, name for me five foods that will not be served at the Hollywood Bowl this weekend. Any five foods that have meat in them. Good luck to you.
I say a tomahawk steak. I say a filet mignon. I say a T-bone. I say a lobster.
Time's up. 4 out of 5. I'm so sorry. Thank you for playing, though.
Oof, this is tough. 10 seconds is a lot faster than you think.
It's always a tough game.
All right, let's go to Courtney in Pacoima. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Courtney, how you been doing playing on hold? I know it's always easier when you're
doing great.
You're doing it. All right, let's see how you do here. Morrissey has been famously outspoken about his dislike of the British monarchy. And perhaps, hopefully, he even titled one of the Smiths' albums, The Queen is Dead. In 10 seconds, can you name for me any five members of the British royal family, past or present? Any five royals? Good luck.
Princess Diana, Prince Charles, Queen Elizabeth, Queen Victoria, and George VIII. George
V. I say she's just under the wire.
Yes.
Congratulations, you're going to Morrissey. Well done.
Nicely done.
Oh, yes.
No love for Kate and William, by the way, which I was a little bit surprised at. I thought that would be first in mind with our listeners, but well played anyway.
All right, let's go to Joe in Pico Rivera. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
nope.
Joe. You're not feeling confident? Not feeling confident about
nervous.
Joe, Kevin?
I don't feel good about Joe.
Don't be nervous.
Okay.
Don't be nervous. You're among friends. We want to give away some Morrissey tickets for the Hollywood Bowl this weekend. Here's your question on Total Recall. In 1989, Morrissey had a big K-Rock hit with his song called Ouija Board, Ouija Board. In 2017, to win tickets to see Morrissey at the Bowl, all you have to do is name for me five other board games in 10 seconds. Five board games in 10 seconds. Good luck, sir.
Checkers, chess, Clue, Blind, Candyland.
I would like you to apologize to Joe, Kevin.
Joe, you rule.
Yes.
Joe is our hero.
You're the best, and you're going to see Morrissey.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Do we have time for another?
Sure. Let's go to Danny in Los Angeles. Hello, Danny.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
All right. How you feeling about Danny, Kevin? Let's see how your radar is on Danny.
It's not great, but let's see.
All right. Great news. Morrissey has a brand new album coming out next Friday to be called Low in High School. And while we're on the subject, high school is so traumatic that many, many movies have been made about getting through it. Can you name for me five movies set in high school in 10 seconds? Good luck to you.
Ooh, wow. Five movies. Yeah.
How about one?
Yeah.
We were looking for Breakfast Club or Mean Girls or Clueless or High School Musical or
I don't think Heathers. I would have got that one.
Twilight? Okay. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's give an easy one to our final contestant, shall we?
All right. Saul in Long Beach.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Saul, I think you're going to be very happy with your question here. We saved the best for last. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Another of Morrissey's most beloved songs is called Every Day is Like Sunday. But, of course, every day isn't actually Sunday. In 10 seconds, name for me any other 5 days of the week.
Oh,
good
my
luck.
God.
What?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We have another winner. Congratulations. Thanks to all the contestants. You're going to see Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl. Thanks for playing Total Recall.
Oh, yeah. Total Recall. My intellectual equal. Neil deGrasse Tyson will be joining us in the next hour here on Kevin and Bean Show.
On what show?
To the Kevin and Bean Show.
But you guys are intellectual evils?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Not evils, equals.
Oh, equals.
What's
okay.
going on?
I just want to make sure I heard right. That's I was confused for a minute.
Did I say evils?
I'm
not sure.
Oh, Bean did. Okay. Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, yes. Very excited about that next hour. Jim Rome on the program today along with Dr. Drew. They're our usual Thursday guests. First, though, Ali's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
This is nuts. As all of these allegations have been mounting on Kevin Spacey, the director of the movie that he's in that comes out next month, it's the movie about J. Paul Getty. It's called All the Money in the World.
Mm-hmm.
Bold move. The director, Ridley Scott, decided to remove Kevin Spacey from the finished movie, recast his part with Christopher Plummer, and they're going to reshoot immediately. And he's still determined to keep the film's December 22nd release date.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Don't you have to have your movies turned in pretty early just so they can make copies of them and get them distributed to the theaters and all that before they open?
I would think it's, what, November 9th right now? Wouldn't you think everything's done?
Pretty much,
yes.
It'd have to be.
Wow, right. That's crazy.
Yeah. But
plus
in
marketing and ad campaigns and all that, yeah.
Sure. In a unified front, the cast, crew, and Sony Pictures unanimously agreed to reshoot all of Spacey's scenes.
How about that?
Yeah. Apparently, he worked about 8 to 10 days on the film. So, I mean, Christopher Plummer, you can do that in like two. That guy's a pro. And I read somewhere that he was the first choice.
Is that right?
But they wanted a bigger name. So they went with Kevin Spacey, which is all very interesting. But wow, that's unprecedented.
That is crazy. To try and make that release date is crazy.
Yes. Bean.
I mean, any movie is made better by Christopher Plummer being in the cast.
Oh, great. Absolutely. You guys hear about this A Perfect Circle band photo sitch?
I heard about the sitch.
Did you hear about the sitch? In case you hadn't, A Perfect Circle has their no photos policy, but it was pretty extreme.
Well, usually it's no flash photos, isn't it?
Some have
for most
no
bands?
Some have no photos,
oh, they do? Okay.
But how do you enforce that? There's a whole, you know, question with that. But A Perfect Circle was performing in Reading, Pennsylvania on November 4th, and general manager of this arena, David Farrer, presided over the ejections at the band's direction. And this was revealed on Instagram. Somebody posted a picture of the show. And the general manager of this venue responded, "Ooh, you're good. We tossed over 60 people last night for taking pics."
They kicked people out?
60 people were ejected. And then people started commenting like, "What the heck?" And he wrote, "Talk to Maynard."
Maynard.
What's his name? Yeah. Maynard Keenan. Maynard. That's a weird spelling. I guess that's how you spell it. Listen, I'm going to read this before next time.
Okay, good.
Talk to him. This was 110% the band's policy.
60 people got kicked out.
60 people. And so Maynard addressed this in another comment section, saying, "No recording of any kind for 25 years. Guided experience. Unplug and enjoy the ride." So, yeah, apparently it's been a policy for a really long time, but who knew people were being ejected?
Yeah, that's a whole different level.
That is.
And, of course, and maybe we should talk about this later on today, because I know a lot of fans are very passionate about this topic, and that is they say, "Look, I bought a ticket.
Yeah.
I should be allowed to preserve that memory. I should be allowed to have a souvenir of the show, something to remember it by." And the band is like, "Look, it's our show, our rules." So, I mean, it's a difference of opinion. Ultimately, I think it's the band's decision.
Right.
If they make it known that that's their policy, then it's up to the fan to decide whether they want to go to that show or not.
Yeah. What's more distracting, though? Someone up taking video or a security guard flashing a flashlight in your face and then, like, ejecting you four seats in from an aisle?
That does seem like maybe it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Coming up, if you're a fan of the show Hamilton, and really, who isn't?
Right.
You're going to be able to not only see Hamilton, but see Lin-Manuel Miranda in the starring role again. Where? When?
Where, when?
I'll tell you, coming up.
Oh,
I mean, there's a teaser for theater geeks.
That's bogus.
Some birthdays today. Wrestler Chris Jericho is 47. Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey both celebrating birthdays today. French Montana is 33. Lou Ferrigno is 66.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
That is the best question that has ever been asked.
Ever. I mean, it's wide open.
How has life been for you from birth until this day? That's awesome.
Oh, I love mugs so much. And actor Finn Cole is turning 22 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Listen, Dr. Tyson might be listening on his way in, so let's not sound dumb as we have this next discussion, okay?
Please.
Don't want him to have a bad impression of the show before he steps into the studio.
If we had the option of not sounding dumb, we would have taken that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true. Neil deGrasse Tyson coming up here on K-Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Thursday morning. Allie, you were jumping for joy yesterday. You were very excited, right?
I love him so very much.
Oh, no, I mean about the thing that's not in your neighborhood anymore.
About the time change and how it's affected your life, I believe, is what you're excited about.
What are we talking about here?
That was a weird setup, Bean.
I'm very confused.
Okay.
What's happening?
Allie?
All right, I'm aware that as I say this, I'm going to come off as a complete curmudgeon that hates children and happiness. That's not true.
You kids get off my lawn.
Pretty much. Here's the deal. I did morning news for 14 years. Mm-hmm. My alarm went off at 2:30 in the morning. I had to get to bed at a certain point just to be able to function the next day.
Right.
I now get to sleep a whole extra hour doing this job, mm-hmm. which is delightful, but I still need sleep.
Right.
So when this time change comes around in the fall for daylight savings and we get to set our clock back an hour.
This particular daylight savings was so good.
It was so good, and I'll tell you why.
Guys, it's a standard time. It was the end of daylight saving, not savings time. That's where we're at right now, standard time.
I'm just hearing pops and buzzes. I don't even know what's coming
up. This particular daylight savings was a beautiful thing for me because when it's darker earlier, I feel like I can get to sleep earlier, especially when the kids in the house behind me aren't on their goddamn trampoline. Into all hours of the night.
Now, what do you mean by all hours of the night? They're on the trampoline till like 7?
Like sometimes 8, 9 o'clock during the summer. They got it this summer. And I'm telling you, the first day I was like, what the hell is going on back there? And I'm just hearing squealing and happiness and all around general happiness.
Right?
And I thought, oh God, did they get a trampoline? Oh, no, they got trampoline.
Is a trampoline a neighbor's worst nightmare?
It is, and I'll tell you why.
Do they make noise when kids jump up and down on a trampoline?
A little bit. You can hear a little bit of the springs. But what I have behind me is a child that needs his dad's acceptance and his dad's love so much that this is what I have heard, and I'm not kidding, June, July, August, September. This is what I hear. Dad, are you watching? Watch this, Dad. Dad, watch this. Watch. Hey, Dad, watch this. Rate this, Dad. Dad, watch this, Dad.
Have you ever looked at Dad and see what he's doing?
All I'm thinking is, your dad doesn't care. Your dad doesn't want to rate your jump right now. Your dad wants you to be quiet and just jump. As do all your neighbors.
Dad now, left that family years ago, by the way. He went out for smokes and never came back.
Oh, that's kids talking to someone who's not there?
Yep. Watch that. Just do what we all do, kid. Just be quiet, take it in, and then make horrible life decisions right. with who you date later in life.
Just smile
just
your pain.
Something.
Swallow your pain, and then you'll be fine.
But with the time change.
Did you ever shout, Dad, for God's sakes, look at your kid?
For the love of God. I have had conversations with another neighbor of mine, and we're just like, what the hell with that kid?
I'm not kidding. I would have yelled that. Because if Dad's out there, and Dad's not watching
the kids. I don't know if Dad is in the house, like by a window, or what the deal is, but he can't get Dad's attention, and then finally, once he does, he wants to be rated 1 through 10. Like, what about this jump? Ooh, Dad, watch it. Oh, for the love.
Did you ever yell, that's a 7? Go
right?
to bed.
Work on it tomorrow when I'm at work.
It's not enough for this kid to just be outside enjoying being on a trampoline. It doesn't mean anything to him unless he gets some sort of acceptance from his pop.
I think that's sad, and that's a whole other issue to
that's
tackle.
That's kids in general, but most of the time it doesn't take that much to get your parents' attention.
No. Dad, watch me. Oh.
You know what I'm surprised?
So now that it's darker earlier, obviously, kid's not jumping. I'm just expecting, like, soon, floodlights. Like, look what we have, son.
Oh, that'd be so great. He'll be doing it until midnight.
You know what I'm surprised by, Allie? I'm surprised that the kids were... Is it just one kid or multiple kids?
Oh, no, they have parties. They now have parties where all the
kids come.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And then the kids get mad at the other kids. You're spending too much time in there. It's my turn. Like, just screaming.
Hold, please, if we take a call.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is Anthony, and he says that he thinks it's him.
Anthony?
I hope that's true.
I hope it's not.
Anthony?
I'm here.
Oh, no.
Does your kid have a trampoline?
I literally got a trampoline this summer.
Oh.
I've got my son is like all about dad. Let's be talking dad, everything.
Okay.
Kids constantly, all the neighborhood kids come over and play in my backyard. Oh. I got all the toys.
All right.
I got the trampoline. I got everything.
Okay, okay, wait a minute. So, Anthony, let me ask you a question. When your kid says dad for the 127th time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Glance up.
No. I mean,
no.
At the minute I walk in the door, I put my work boots on at 5:30 in the morning. I take my work boots off at 9:30, all because of my son. We are constantly playing. We're playing soccer. We're playing baseball. We're playing cards. We're playing this. We're playing everything. I pay so much attention to my kid, but he's just
that. You're going to need to trade him in.
I'm wondering where Anthony lives. This might be my neighbor.
I live in Cal Heights. Like,
you know,
Long Beach.
I do not live there.
Oh, so you're a different dad.
You're
that's
a
not
different dad. Dad, watch. Does he make you rate him on jumps?
No. Yes. He's like, Dad, how was that? Dad, especially in soccer skills. Dad, how was that too? Dad, can I kick it hard enough? Dad, what do I need to do next? Everything is dad.
Well, I just hope you're hugging him enough and loving him so much.
Clearly, Anthony is not like his son.
My kids are my world. They
see
everything.
It sounds like it, yeah. But your kid is so needy.
Ah, that's what my wife says all the time.
Well, your wife is right. Your wife's perceptive.
Your wife is tired of him shouting, Dad.
Exactly.
Wait, are you married to Allie?
Wait a minute. What, Anthony?
It's from 6 in the morning till when they go to bed at night. Constant. It's insane. But I heard the story, and I was like, you guys are absolutely painting my picture. Like,
oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I'm so
surprised, Anthony, and I'm so surprised about your neighbor too, Allie, that the kids have retained interest in any toy that long.
Like, that trampoline is the neighborhood trampoline now. People love it.
Yeah, my neighbor drugged it over one day. He's like, here, this is what I got for the kids. And then my wife looks at him and goes, are you serious?
Oh, man.
Oh, your neighbor hates you.
Yeah, it's insane.
Okay, anyway, so Anthony's not Allie's neighbor, but Anthony's neighbors hate him just as much.
I mean, exactly.
That's thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate it.
Possibility.
Our next guest, just like you, Kevin, is an astrophysicist. He is also the director of the Hayden Planetarium and the host of Star Talk on the National Geographic Channel, Sunday nights at 11. He is Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, thank you.
Neil, welcome back.
Thank you.
You wear so many hats. What do you put on your tax returns as your occupation? Do you write guy? Or?
No, just scientist. And educator. Yeah, scientist/educator.
Okay.
And the educator is kind of after the fact. I'm a scientist fundamentally. That's how I think. It's what I train to be. And most of the education is just kind of stuff that came along with the ride. You know, I write a book. I get asked to give a talk.
Well, you're able to make it understandable for people who aren't as smart as you.
Well, no.
And that's a talent.
No, I'm serious. That's
who is everybody, by the way.
For me, I don't think about who's smart and who isn't. That's not how we should divide the world. If you want to divide the world, you should divide it. Who's curious and who is not?
I like it.
Oh.
The people who are curious will continue to learn throughout their lives.
Okay.
And those who are not, they shut down and ossify.
Neil,
state of mind.
Hang on, I'm writing out words.
Ossify. Yeah, look up ossify.
Ossify means exactly what it feels like it means. Ossify.
You get stuck.
You turn stuck. You become stone in your thoughts and your ideas and in your outlooks.
I see. I agree with you 100% about curiosity. I think that is that's the most important trait a human can
have. And we all have it as kids. Mm-hmm. And I joke about this. You know, we spend the first year of a kid's life teaching them to walk and talk. Then we spend the rest of their lives telling them to shut up and sit down. So if you can maintain curiosity from childhood into adulthood, we call them scientists. That's what
there,
that is.
Are there things
I mean,
that,
by definition, then I'm a scientist.
There you go.
I don't...
That's kind of how I feel about it. Yeah.
Neil, are there things that you don't understand, things that confuse you in the world of science?
So we should split that into two categories. There are things that confuse me because they confuse everyone, and the answer is not yet known.
Okay.
So what was around before the Big Bang, or what is dark matter, dark energy? How did organic molecules become self-replicating life in the early universe? These are frontiers in science, mm-hmm. and they're mysteries, and they're beautiful mysteries. It makes you jump out of bed in the morning and run to the lab to try to possibly be the one who solves them. And then there are things that I just don't understand yet that happens to be known that I could probably look up in a book.
That some people somewhere know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a different kind of ignorance. It's just I don't know it yet rather than no one on Earth knows it yet.
I got to tell you, Neil, I had the wonderful opportunity a couple of months ago to visit CERN.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm sure you've been there on this.
No, actually, I haven't. I'm very embarrassed by that. CERN is the great particle accelerator in Switzerland. By the way, we the United States, we began construction of a particle accelerator that was three, five, six times more powerful than the one they built in Switzerland.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then Congress zeroed the budget in the early
1990s. Really?
And did that help or did that...
Did it speed up construction, Neil?
it was going to be in Waxahachie, Texas. We got a huge ring, a huge accelerator ring.
Huh.
The ring is so big it could not have fit in Rhode Island because it's bigger than Rhode Island.
No kidding.
Right.
My gosh.
So you need a nice big fat state like Texas to put it in.
Should have had a bake sale.
Waxahachie, they'd already dug the hole because budget had already been allocated for it.
Okay.
In the 80s, and then early 90s, Congress says, nope, we have no need for this.
I brought it up because I went to CERN, and you talk about how there are still some things that people know that you don't understand. Imagine how me, a layperson with no scientific education, felt because I went to a lecture ahead of the tour of the facility where you see what they do, and they explain it to you in the simplest possible terms for the public. And I was still so lost how you can break down atoms into something even smaller than that.
Oh, yeah.
And then make them shoot around a 17-mile circle and smash into each other and then take pictures of it. That is so beyond my comprehension that I don't even know where to start.
By the way, there's a highly viewed video. I assume it's still there. It's called the LHC wrap. LHC is the upgrade to the collider there, the Large Hadron Collider, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It's the LHC wrap, and it's the staff doing a rap.
That's got to be terrible.
I need to hear it.
In a good way. I want to hear that because it's got to be terrible.
No, it's fun. And for me, you get to see the enthusiasm mm-hmm. that the scientists and engineers there have for this project.
What's the
and
hook?
You realize that they're like regular people like anybody else.
What's the hook of the rap?
Yeah, just sing us a little bit.
Just a little bit.
No, I didn't memorize the rap.
Just so you know
it goes something like.
He's snapping his fingers.
It goes something like the proton and the magnetic field. I mean, it's real physics.
That
legitimate
is catchy.
Physics. It's catchy. Yeah.
But all I remember is when they were
finger popping physics.
Remember is when they were building that, they said a possible side effect is they might create a black hole.
Oh, yes. Well, there was a small chance.
And at the time,
it was
like,
only a small chance.
At that time, we were like, hey, even if there's a small chance, slow down a bit. Let's work this out.
There was that story like went viral that it might be a black hole.
Right.
So there was there's another video you can find on YouTube where there's a security cam footage of the parking lot. And there's a countdown to when they turn on the collider.
That's funny, yes.
And they turn it on, and then all the cars fall into a black hole.
And the whole point of that exercise, though, is to get us closer to understanding what you opened with, Neil, which is the Big Bang, right? Trying to figure out how life began out of nothing and created a universe, right?
You can say it even more broadly than that. There's in particle physics, the frontiers are in energy. So you build a particle accelerator a certain size, you get to a certain energy regime, and that only gets you so far. You want to make more discoveries? Make a more powerful particle accelerator.
Okay.
Not different from an astrophysics where you want to see deeper into the universe? Build a bigger telescope. It is true that in these two branches of science, bigger is better.
Mm.
Sorry about that.
The voice of...
I support it.
Why are you looking at me?
You're all on board with that.
I'm in.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is our guest here on the Kevin Eugene Show. Before we have to take a break and come back with more with the doctor and talk about the current season, season four.
Neil. Yeah.
I have to ask, because you fell in love with science and you've told the story often and it's beautiful that you were able to accomplish your dream and run the Hayden Planetarium, which is where you kind of got introduced to the sky and fell in love with space.
That was the neighborhood planetarium, New York City.
Yeah.
The Hayden
My question for you is, did you ever think about or pursue becoming an astronaut?
Oh, never.
Because most kids, I would think, especially if they're in love with space at eight, that would be their whole goal is how can I get up there?
Want me to tell you now or before the or after the commercial break?
That's a good tease. Let's tease.
Okay.
And then we'll take a break and then we'll come back.
I was not one of those who said, gee, I want to grow up and be an astronaut.
What happened to his microphone?
I don't know what's happening. I'm sorry, your microphone.
That was quite a tease.
Right?
He's gone.
We'll be right back.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is here on K-Rock. Always great to welcome Neil back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Star Talk airs Sunday nights at 11 on the National Geographic Channel. So many great guests this year. We've missed a few, but some great guests still to come, including Katy Perry this weekend, which I can't wait to talk about. But first, before the break, you were telling us, I asked you why you didn't grow up and try to be an astronaut since you fell in love with space as a young man.
And then your security cut off my microphone.
Right.
So
that, right, exactly. The NSA.
It's very weird.
Yeah, yeah. The NSA. Uh-huh. No, I as a young child, I mean, at age 9, I fell in love with the universe. And by age 11, I knew I wanted to be an astrophysicist, learning that you can make a career out of it. And I was embracing the entire universe, the solar system, the galaxy, that right clear back to the Big Bang. And so now here is, and I'm old enough to remember like the Apollo program. Uh-huh. So we were going to the moon, but most of when people think about space, they think of going into orbit around Earth. So consider this. Pick up a schoolroom globe and, mm-hmm. and you can ask yourself, it's the size of a basketball or so, ask yourself how high above that would you find the space station orbiting? If Earth were actually that size.
Okay.
It's an interesting exercise.
Right. Kevin, do you have an answer?
I don't have an answer, no.
Okay.
How high is it?
Yeah, so it would be 3/8 of an inch above the globe.
Wow.
And so over the past 60 years of NASA, we've all been sort of convinced that that's space.
But and that's not space at all.
To an astrophysicist, no.
No.
That's not
right?
space.
I didn't think it was space either.
So...
We had this conversation,
nice
and they mocked me.
Yeah, nice comeback on that one. So my point is, if you're going to send me into space, send me to a destination. If
so
not,
you want to go to Mars?
Yeah, the moon, Mars, or beyond.
Or beyond, okay.
Beyond.
Okay.
You got to say it right. Can you say that right? Beyond.
Beyond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so not only that, back then the astronauts, you know, Hair was a big thing in the 60s. There was a Broadway musical called Hair.
Sure.
Right.
Okay? And here are these astronauts with like, not much hair, mm-hmm. like crew cuts. They were military guys.
Uh-huh.
So this didn't feel very relevant to me. What was going on? I still embraced it as an activity, mm-hmm. as a goal, as a mission.
Right.
But you were just out there dirty hippieing it up. And you couldn't
relate. I had my fro. You ain't cutting this fro, you know. So does a space helmet fit around a fro, you know?
That's the most important question.
That's the
right
most
there.
Important. But anyhow, no, I totally embraced what it was, but not as a career path for myself.
Okay, so you were too cool to be an astronaut. I got it. That makes sense.
I'm not sure that's what he said at all.
Yeah.
I mentioned Katy Perry is going to be on the show this weekend on your Star Talk. Which
yeah, Star Talk, we have celebrities. It's not like a science. I mean, yes, it's a science-based talk show, but mm-hmm. but we inverted the model. So it's not a journalist interviewing a scientist. Mm-hmm. It's a scientist interviewing people you've heard of. And I'm that person interviewing people you've heard of.
Mm-hmm. So you interview Katy Perry. She doesn't come to you and ask you science questions for you to answer her. You interview her?
Well, so the way this works is, yeah, because I'm interested in people's livelihoods. And generally, there aren't many livelihoods out there that have not been touched by science or technology. Mm-hmm. So the Star Talk model is I bring you on the show. No matter what, I got you a politician, a singer, actor. And then we talk about all the ways your life has been influenced by the progress of science and technology in this world. And my favorite parts of this is there are people who you might not have known have a soft geek underbelly.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I had David Crosby on last year, and David Crosby still is an ass.
Sure.
Okay, we all know David. We all love
and the
David
king of artificial insemination.
Is that what that is?
I mean, it was one woman, but sure.
So,
I feel like we're off target.
Yeah, right.
Stay on target.
Stay focused. So that's when I learned he, as a kid, was a huge fan of science fiction stories.
Hmm.
Before he ever wrote his first note of music, he was reading science fiction.
No kidding.
And imagining a future.
Okay.
And people say, what about all these dystopic novels? That's depressing. No. If you read dystopic novels of the future, now you know what future to not aim for.
Oh.
It's so just as good.
Us. Yeah, I think there are a lot of good things about The Handmaid's Tale, by the way. I don't know that it was all bad.
You are the worst.
It doesn't look like the worst way to live.
Is that why you kicked him out of the studio? Yes. He's down in New Orleans now. Yes. Where are you now? Where is
he? It's best for everyone.
He's in New Orleans.
He's in New Orleans. Okay.
One of your guests coming up that you already taped, I assume, is still to come, is James Cameron. Now, isn't he, of course, the director of Avatar and the Titanic? He is a legit scientist kind of on his own in terms of inventions, right?
Well, let's back this up for a minute. I just want to give a shout out to the people who were ambitious and focused in ways that schoolrooms could not identify. People who didn't do well in school because they were daydreaming about something else. Mm-hmm. There's a high fraction of the guests on Star Talk who you know, if not by name, but by rank and title. Uh-huh. Like one of the founders of Twitter. Barely went to college. Others dropped out of college or never went. James Cameron is not a college graduate. I think he went to community college, okay, early on.
Is that because they're too smart for school?
I'm not saying
that to be funny.
I don't want to think about who's smart and who isn't. I'm asking who's curious, who's ambitious, and who is not.
Okay.
There are people with straight A's that get praised by the school teachers and got no ambition to do a damn thing when they graduate. They are not the shakers and movers of the world.
Right.
In fact, go find the people you admire the most about the world and go up there and say, were you a straight A student? Mm-hmm. Chances are probably not.
Yeah, so, in the back, daydreaming.
So drop out of school, kids.
No, no.
I think that's what he said.
Not the message.
That's not the message. Okay.
So James Cameron actually liked physics. He liked engineering as a kid. And this manifests in his creativity because he's inventing new cameras. He invented a submersible. Why did he make a movie about Titanic? Because he wanted to go to the bottom of the ocean, and as an excuse, they said, "Let's see if we can find the Titanic." He did this with Robert Ballard.
Right.
They found the Titanic, and he was enjoying the oceanographic frontier that he was breaching there. And he said, "Oh, now I got to make a movie. Okay, I'll make a Titanic movie just to justify, you know,
the money you spent here."
Neil, is it a true or false story that James Cameron at some point had to change something about Titanic because you called him on it being scientifically inaccurate?
Oh, yeah. I've been...
Because you sound like a real party spoiler.
You're a Debbie Downer on Twitter sometimes.
No, but let me explain. I'm so misunderstood. So I will highlight for people with the intent of enhancing their movie-going experience.
Right.
Things about a film that they might have gotten wrong with their science.
Okay.
Or if they got it right, I'll celebrate that.
Okay.
Oh, people love to get a phone call from Neil, don't they?
So I do this. It's all in good. I'm just trying to help you.
Right.
Okay.
And I started doing this, and people got pissed off.
Yeah. People got
people called me, a Debbie Downer, a buzzkill.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, how dare you?
What was the error in the movie that you corrected, Neil?
Let me finish the how dare you bit. But I'll tell you, what I said was, in the sinking Titanic, mm-hmm. is that scene where Kate Winslet is like on the plank,
right.
and she's looking up. By the way, why didn't her boyfriend try a second time to float on the plank with her?
Hello.
He tries this once. Oh, I guess I'll freeze to death. if Leonardo DiCaprio were Matt Damon from The Martian, he would have glued together the planks and made an outboard motor and would have saved everybody.
Good point.
Talk about being resourceful scientifically. But no, he was Leonardo DiCaprio. Oops, I can't float with you. I will die. Right. Okay. So she's looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
At the sinking Titanic. It's the wrong sky. We know where the ship tank sank, what time of night, that we know there were no clouds, there wasn't even a moon, a perfectly
Neil.
Perfect night. It was not only the wrong sky.
Took me right out of the movie.
I'm trying. Let me explain.
He needs to finish.
Right. So it was not only the wrong sky, it was a lazy sky.
Oh.
Because the left half of the sky was a mirror reflection of the right half of the sky.
Oh.
You calling me out at that point. I'm saying, and by the way, I wouldn't mind it if you didn't claim the accuracy of the rest of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that film. He went to the bottom. He has images of the original Titanic, mm-hmm. the staterooms, the wall sconces, the rivets on the side of
everything
the
was accurate.
Everything was accurate, and he just on the sky. So I sent letters to James Cameron's handlers and his studios, and I never got a reply.
Never did.
Then later on, I bumped into him because I served on the board of NASA, mm-hmm. and he was on another advisory, like a celebrity advisory board, and I met him at a conference.
Yeah, you cornered him.
And I cornered him. I said, Mr. Cameron, I wrote you a letter. No, I don't have it. He said, well, that was done in post-production, and so he had less.
Passing the buck.
But I wanted him to, like, grovel at my feet.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that did not happen. So years after that, some magazine, I forgot, gives him an Explore the Year award, and they want to hold their party at the Hayden Planetarium. And so it's a third-party rental of the space, and they sent me a courtesy invitation to join them.
So did you stand at the door?
I said, is Cameron going to be there? They said, yes. I said, I'm going to be there. Right? So I go. They do the ceremony. We go out to eat. There's eight of us. Mm-hmm. The wine is pouring. And so I said, Jim. Jim.
You're on a mission.
Jim. Why? I get on his case a second time, and he says, Neil, last I checked, Titanic worldwide has grossed more than $1 billion.
He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Imagine how much more it would have grossed had I gotten the sky correct.
Yeah.
Burn.
Yeah.
Burn. Burn. And so I said, I'm done here. I can't. And he's right. That, right. I can't even. I got no rebuttal.
That's yeah. point camera.
So I went home. I went back to my home. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call. Hello? Is this Dr. I said, yes. This is Joe Smith. I work post-production for James Cameron. And he says, we're about to re-release the movie in a special director's cut. We're adding footage, and he tells me you have a sky he can use.
Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen.
Triumph!
How about that?
Triumph. So, in the centennial 2012, 100 years since the sinking,
right.
release of the movie, they recut that sky that Kate Winslet looked at with the sky that I provided.
You're pretty proud of yourself wow. right now, aren't you, Neil?
No, but I'm just saying, it shows that he had the integrity to play with it with a bit, but actually go back and get it right.
Does stuff like, do you know too much to enjoy movies?
No.
Because you're looking at the sky?
No, I can leave. Most of the time.
Okay. We are out of time.
Quick plug. Out of time. We have more of the universe to talk about.
I know, I agree. I'm so sorry.
Oh, can I mention, I wrote a book on the universe.
Yes, that's the final plug, yes.
Like, it went to number one. Mm-hmm. We celebrate in sciences, if anybody has a science book that lands anywhere on anybody's bestseller list, we celebrate.
It's amazing. It's called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, which is perfect for us.
By the way, that's shorthand for Astrophysics for Dummies.
Yeah. No, except, first of all, that title was already taken, so I couldn't. But it's actually real astrophysics.
It is.
No one has said, oh, you're dumbing this down. No, it is real. I take you to the beginning of the universe and beyond, right up to the emergence of life on Earth, and I drop you into a cosmic perspective where I'd like to think you will never look at the world the same way again.
I think it sounds like a wonderful book for my bathroom. Don't you think, Neil? It'd be the type of thing.
It depends on what you do with it in your bathroom.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's what you do in your bathroom. Ooh. But I can tell you this. It's my first of my books that I actually narrated. Mm-hmm. So it's for the audio book.
So you did the audio version?
Yeah, and it's not a long book. It's intended if you're in a hurry. It's not a big old thing, mm-hmm. right? So
it's 80 pages?
No, it's maybe 170 pages.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah,
okay.
Maybe 200, but it's not a big book. And when I recorded it, I was thinking of you guys here in L.A. I was thinking, how many days stuck in traffic will the audiobook serve? It's a two-day.
All right. The book is available wherever books are sold. Astrophysics for People in a Hurry.
Katy Perry this Sunday on Nat Geo.
And that is a Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, Sunday night, 11 o'clock on the Nat Geo channel. Neil, you are a delight, sir. It's always fun to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for coming back.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Right after the top of the hour, we're talking sports with Jim Rome.
Wake up, I need to make money.
Like we do on Thursday mornings, Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us at 9 as well. And by the way, if you're a Perfect Circle fan, I think you know the story we're going to be talking about in about 20 minutes or so. We're going to need your input on that. First, though, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hamilton. Huge show.
Yes.
You can't get tickets to it. And Lin-Manuel Miranda doesn't play the lead anymore.
He's the guy that created it?
Yes.
Wrote it?
Yep. The composer starred in the title role. Well, guess what? You can go see Hamilton with him in the title role if you're willing to head down to Puerto Rico.
Oh, it's a good time to go to Puerto Rico.
Well,
they're rolling out the red carpet for tourists.
That's the thing. They made the announcement yesterday at the Teatro UPR stage, which suffered damage as Hurricane Maria devastated the island in September. But the theater, which is built in 1939, is going to undergo restorations and repairs, obviously, prior to Hamilton's 2019 opening. And apparently this had been in the works for a while.
Is that right?
But here's his quote. He said, "When I last visited the island a few weeks before the hurricane, I had made a commitment to not only bring the show to Puerto Rico, but also return again in the title role. In the aftermath of Maria, we decided to expedite the announcement of the project and send a bold message that Puerto Rico will recover and be back in business stronger than ever." I mean, that guy.
That's pretty cool. Very nice of him.
Amazing. That's his heart. It's Puerto Rico.
And he has raised millions of dollars with that that charity
the song,
with all those other artists, which is a great song, by the way. Almost like Praying, it's called, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, that's super cool that he's doing that.
Absolutely. So if you want to head on down to Puerto Rico, January 8th through the 27th.
What are the chances we're anyone could get tickets to that, though?
Yeah, that I think will have people chartering flights from all over the place just to head down for that.
Did you guys get the opportunity to see Hamilton when it was in Los Angeles?
No, Bean.
Did not.
I haven't seen it either.
I saw it in New York.
Did you? You saw it on Broadway?
You saw it on Broadway? You saw Hamilton?
You're the worst, Kevin.
How'd you get tickets?
A friend of a friend.
You're rolling deep.
You know how things go. You know how I do.
Was it as good as everybody says it is?
Yes. And did I think it would be? Absolutely not.
I hate that you probably went kicking and screaming.
I was very upset.
You were skeptical of it. Even after you saw it win like 30 Tonys, you were like, it can't be that good.
I mean, but then when you look at the subject matter, you can't put those two together.
Yeah.
You
how are they going to rap in its history and rap?
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so it's fun that you got to see it.
You're the worst. Did you guys see it in L.A.? No, both of us bummed. But I saw it in New York. Oh.
Should I have not said anything?
Maybe. But I was in it. Lin-Manuel Miranda put me in it.
Right.
I got to play Aaron Burr a couple of times.
Is that your impression of me?
Yeah, it is.
I don't like it. It's the same as Dumb Guy.
Exactly.
It's similar.
That's my shot song, man. That's such a great song.
Okay. Thank you. Remember after everything started kind of coming out about Harvey Weinstein and a lovely man named Terry Crews tweeted about his own situation and something that happened to him? Just to get you caught up, about a month ago, he talked about an alleged assault by an unidentified high-level Hollywood executive. He tweeted, "My wife and I were at a Hollywood function last year, and a high-level Hollywood executive came over to me and groped my privates. Jumping back, I said, 'What are you doing?' My wife saw everything, and we looked at him like he was crazy. He was just grinning like a jerk." Well,
wow.
Turns out yesterday, he went in to LAPD's Hollywood division, and they can confirm that a crime report was completed.
Wow.
Yeah. Crews told a TMZ photog that he plans to file a civil lawsuit as well as pursue criminal charges. Now, he has not named who the executive is, but sources tell TMZ as well as this kind of maybe being a clue as to who it allegedly could be. Is a man named Adam Bennett, who's heading up the motion picture group at William Morris Endeavor, who's been placed on leave while they investigate some allegations. Reports that he was just wedgieing people at the party as a prank. So
that's a strange.
Yeah. It's good that Terry Crews was like, you know what? The more he thought about it, this is bad. This should be reported. Because if he's doing it in front of Terry Crews, his wife,
that's
insanity.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I just looked up this gentleman who reportedly is the one that they're talking about. His clients include Dustin Hoffman and Brett Ratner, both who have been accused of sexual impropriety. So quite the little Hollywood Club, we got going.
I don't think the wedgie defense is going to provide much cover either.
Yeah, and last time I checked, a wedgie was in the back and you just pull the underwear up.
Right.
Not so much grabbing genitals in the front.
Right. Right.
Unless I've been doing wedgies wrong. Do you guys remember a few days ago when I talked about how Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, gave Tyrese Gibson $5 million?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Because he was going through that whole situation, legal custody of his daughter, like trying to figure out what was going to happen with this court situation. So he posted, "They're my brothers and my sisters, and we come together, we raise each other up." Will and Jada Pinkett Smith were like, what?
What? They didn't know anything about it?
Yeah.
They didn't do that?
Tyrese made it up?
We don't know exactly, but the couple has been friends with the actor for years, but said they're extremely worried that he's having a meltdown.
Oh, no. Oh.
So, I don't know. That... step in. Somebody.
Wow, that's
good
weird.
Friends.
Yeah.
By the way,
reach out.
Everybody was talking about how awesome Will and Jada Smith were for stepping in and helping out their friend Tyrese. Don't say anything.
I'm sure.
Just let us think you're awesome.
No, I think it's more awesome if they're like, we actually didn't and he needs help. Let's get him that help. That's more awesome. But if he's having these delusions and he's. That's bad.
That is bad, yeah.
Agreed.
Look at Bean. Seems like they should have kept quiet. They were heroes.
Somebody says something nice about you. Shut up.
I cannot. You right now. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? Nick Lachey is 44. His wife, Vanessa Lachey, is 37. Finn Cole is 22. I get choked up thinking about Animal Kingdom coming back. Singer Cisco is 39. Let me see.
That was a song.
That was a song.
And a hit.
Yeah. And Lou Ferrigno is 66.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
I mean...
Best question
so
ever.
Good.
Best
it's
question ever.
So good. God bless you, Mugs. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Well, those 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock Thursday morning. It means it's time for Jim Rome.
And before we even got on the air, he roasted the King of Mexico. Shut him down, didn't he?
Which he should have done.
Did you see Dave crawling out of his studio in shame?
It's just a Jim. Single tear.
Dude, seriously. I gotta say, no matter what is about to happen, it's not nearly as good as what just did happen.
Yeah,
that's correct.
The best segment I've ever done with you, fam, was the one that I just did off the air. Yeah, so just know that.
That is true. Jim Rome joins us every week at this time in K-Rock. Of course, the radio show is jimrome.com from 9 till noon West Coast, and new episodes of the podcast, which is all new content available every Tuesday on iTunes and Google Play. How are you, Mr. Rome? Welcome, sir.
Kevin Bean, Allie, not Sanchez. I'm great. What's up? How you guys doing?
Well, I wanna start by talking about the ball family, because LiAngelo got in a little bit of trouble when UCLA traveled to China this week, and it seems like the dumbest possible move what he and his colleagues from the team did. Please explain this to me, Jim.
All right, so these guys go to China. They're there for the opener on Friday night against Georgia Tech, but they've been picked up for allegedly shoplifting at a Louis Vuitton right near the hotel. Now, I don't know exactly what happened. If they did do that, and the speculation is they ripped some sunglasses, then that's got to be one of the dumbest things ever. And the only thing dumber than that is doing it where they did it, if they did it. So we're not exactly sure. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff potentially, but it looks like it's lining up pretty well for them. They got out on bail, something that never happens in those cases there. And authorities let them go back to their hotel, which is a sign that maybe they're getting preferential treatment. So ultimately, they might beat this rap. But right now, they're on house arrest, or in this case, hotel arrest.
You go to a communist country. The last thing you want to do is run afoul of their laws, knowing that it may not work the same way as it does in the good old U.S. of A. And you might find yourself in prison for like 4 years or something. That would be my concern.
Yeah, no, it's not a case of it might not work the same way. It definitely does not work the same way. And I don't think they understand that. Hey, look, I mean, college kids, certainly will shoplift. I mean, these guys are not the first, they're not the last, but I don't know of any other college kids that shoplifted in China from a Louis Vuitton if that's what they did. So, and can I tell you something? If the formal charges are brought, there is a 99% conviction rate in China.
Oh, wow.
So that hasn't happened yet. If that happens, they're essentially guilty, all right? You don't get your day in court, you're essentially guilty if that happens.
Can they not get put on a plane immediately and sent home?
Not immediately. I mean, it ultimately could happen. The way it's setting up, and I'm not any kind of authority on Chinese law, but because of what I mentioned, it looks like maybe, maybe it looks like they might let him off with a stiff reprimand or a fine, but it's not going to happen right away. There's a legal process that has to play out, and it's anybody's guess how long that could take. They could be there for a while.
All right, last question on this. What is LeVar saying? How is he spinning this to make it look like it's all part of his plan?
You know, for the first time ever, this guy's got nothing to say. Well, he's got something to say, but they're not letting him talk. He actually had a presser set up. I mean, you imagine what a worse idea that, or an idea worse than that one. Like, oh, we'll let LeVar just go off and roll cameras on that. So he's doing things like no commenting. It's going to be fine. It's not that big a deal. And honestly, guys, I would love to hot take this and blame it all on him, but it's not on the old man. If the son did it, the son did it. The old man did not grab the shades if the kid did, so I'm not going to put this on him.
All right, fair enough. Let's turn our attention to the NFL. One of Kevin's favorite things in the world is anytime the commissioner of the football, Roger Goodell, shows up anywhere, he gets booed long and hard by everyone in the room.
That is enjoyable.
It's
Kevin, why do you got to hate?
That's just enjoyable. I just like it.
It's a lot of fun because you know he hears it and he still has to present a trophy or give a speech or whatever else he's doing, but it is pretty funny. Now it looks like Jerry Jones is doing some booing of his own. What's going on, Jim?
Right, Kevin. So if you like it when the commissioner shows up in public and gets booed, how much do you like it when the most powerful owner in the NFL wants to sue his ass?
Love it.
The best thing?
Yep.
Right?
I love it.
Who
right,
do so, I root for here?
Right?
Oh, hey, Allie, what's up?
Hey.
What's up, Allie?
Hey, what's up,
on?
Jim?
How's your morning going?
Pretty good.
Good. Just checking. What's going on today?
I'm trying to figure out which one of you is sliding into the other's DMs later.
No.
We don't,
never, ever. What's happening here is Jones wants to sue the commissioner because he does not want the commissioner to get a new contract. And the reason he's so pissed, because the commissioner suspended his best player, Ezekiel Elliott. And on top of that, the way he handled the anthem protests and the moving of the two franchises to L.A. and his explanation of declining TV ratings. But most of all, because he suspended his best player and now he's pissed.
Now, Jerry Jones, as you mentioned, is the most powerful owner in the NFL. Does he have an alliance with a lot of the other owners who kind of just, however Jerry goes, they go?
What an awesome question. I think what's happening here, in fact, I know what's happening here, for this to go through, you need 2/3 of the vote, and he's trying to make it so it goes to 3/4 of the vote. I think he's got support, but I don't think he has enough support, because the thinking also would go, if he could off this guy, not only would he get rid of him, but he could replace him with his own candidate, which in fact would make Jones the commissioner himself and give him even more power than what he has already. And I don't think the other owners want that. So I don't think he's got legal ground to stand on. I think it's not going to work.
I didn't know that all owners didn't get to vote on that there's a small committee that gets to vote on that, and he's not one of them.
They're letting him sit in on that, but what he's doing now, it's the compensation committee. He said that he will sue all of them personally because of this. Hey, thanks for letting me hang out. By the way, I'll sue your ass if it doesn't go my way.
Wow.
Hey, so you know what that is? Most of all, that's another story that people don't give a damn about that's jamming our timelines and taking attention away from the product on the field. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, final topic.
All my points
for
are good, bro.
All right.
Why do you think you bring me here every week and pay me the big bucks?
Jim, I got bad news for you. No one's getting paid for this.
Trust me, I know. It sucks. Can we do something about that?
I'm eager to hear your opinion on this because you are a man who has almost 1.5 million Twitter followers. Now that Twitter has changed the character limit from 140 to 280, your thoughts, please.
You know, I need to sleep on this. I don't want to jump to any hasty or rash kind of take. Worst idea ever. This is brutal. Like, if really smart people implode on Twitter, and they have, what chance do really dumb people have when they're doubling the characters? It doesn't make it twice as good. It makes it 10 times worse and 100 times more dangerous. I don't like this at all.
And you
example.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you think it's worse for athletes?
Yes, it's worse for everybody. There are so many more landmines you could possibly step on right now. Like, I get thousands of tweets every single day, and it's nearly impossible to sift through all the crap to get to the good ones as it is. And now these idiots have twice as much real estate to make it twice as hard on me. Thanks a hell of a lot.
Facebook, Twitter. Is it a tweet or a CVS receipt? Man, I'm pissed. I hate this. I've already told my listeners, Twitter may have gone to 280. You haven't. You're capped at 140. You want your crap on this show? You want to get retweeted? You keep to 140.
Now, Jim, no, if we,
that's a great policy. I like that.
If we continue to follow you on Twitter as we do, will you ever go above 140?
Never. Ever, ever, ever.
Look at that
ever,
commitment.
Ever. Ever. You can unfollow me if I do. You can unfollow me anyway. Hey, and I don't want to let people in on this, but you know all the people I follow, they're all on mute. just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, that's just hurtful. Kidding. That
only hurtful. Two-thirds of them are. Just kidding. No, I'm not using the extra real estate. I want to be very clear about that. I'm stopping at 140.
All right. Fair enough. So that's the policy from Jim Rome. Do what you want, but understand that Jim won't be watching, right?
No, you Jim know Rome. It.
So from
your fault, Allie.
Nine till noon. Allie, happen? By the way, violated that 140 to 280 first night. I just want you to know. She was very excited.
I mean, I'm right here, you guys. I can hear you.
You can listen to the radio show from 9 till noon West Coast at jimrome.com and the podcast with new episodes every Tuesday. Available wherever you get your casts, including iTunes and Google Play. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks.
You guys are awesome. Bye.
All right. It's time to deal with this a perfect circle situation, you guys.
All right.
I'm surprised to see this making news out of Reading, Pennsylvania after the Perfect Circle concert on Saturday night, because this has been the band's policy for decades, right, Allie? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they said 20-some-odd years.
They say that they have not allowed photographs at their concerts. Now, is that something that is on the ticket, or is that something that is in the pre-sale information? Do people know when they buy a ticket to their show that they're not going to be allowed to whip out their phone and shoot a photo? I don't know. And that might make a difference with how people feel about it. If people know that's the policy and they try to get away with it, maybe they're not surprised if they get asked to leave, right?
And this is photos, not video?
I mean, I think it's either one. Yeah. I think it's if you're holding up your phone, they don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, the reason this one made the news is because this was not an isolated incident where a fan ran afoul of the policy. This is more than 60 people at a Perfect Circle concert thrown out of the event. Yeah. One fan took to Facebook to say, "I was thrown out by six Reading police officers for taking pictures. There were no warnings." Now, that's interesting to me as well, by the way. Because you would think in a situation like this, particularly since their policy is the opposite of most places where anything goes, if, like as you pointed out earlier, Kevin, as long as you're not doing flash photography, most concert venues don't care if you take a shot, right?
Right.
So it's kind of surprising to me that there was no warning, that they didn't come out and say, hey, just a reminder, you know, like as the lights dim, just a reminder, the band requests no photos at all.
Yeah, so. There's a picture that somebody tweeted from the show, and it's actually written on a piece of paper that's on the back of every single seat. And all I can make out of it is no photos or video, including photos and video with cell phones. But I can't read what it says under. If it says you're going to be thrown out, it's on the seat in front of you.
Yeah. And so I see that picture now, and you're right. It's on the back of every single seat. So it seems like a Perfect Circle was not trying to make it be a bad surprise to people. It seems like they were letting people know in every way that they could that this was how they felt about it.
Yeah.
The fan who took to Facebook complaint said, "I was thrown out by six Reading police officers taking pictures. No warning. They blamed the band. Never in 35 years of concert going have I ever been treated so poorly. I will not be back." Another fan commented on Instagram after the show Saturday night, "The security's flashlights hunting for people taking pictures were more distracting than cell phones, in my opinion." I mean, that makes sense. It does sound like at some point that there's too much hubbub going on in the crowd that it would make it.
A lot of hullabaloo out there as well.
Nice use of the word hubbub. That's pretty
like,
sweet.
I mean, it seems like it would be distracting, and I have many other thoughts on this, but let's not lose Kevin on line one, who apparently was at the show.
No way.
Hey, Kevin was at the Perfect Circle show Saturday night. In Pennsylvania, Kevin?
No, it was in Los Angeles.
All right, so when it says he was there, we're talking about a different show. But tell us your experience then.
Yeah, man, this is Kevin. From the-
Again, it's a guy's name, really Kevin. Work. You
can't trust him.
You roll the dice.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
So what do we think about this? Let's start with the basics. Does a band have a right to request and, in fact, insist on no photos during a show?
I mean, of course, they have the right to make any rule they want, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, then people have the right to not go to their concerts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree with that. How about if people go to their concerts, is it fair for them to be kicked out? of the show for taking a picture. Even if they know that's the policy, kicked out rather than just scolded and told to put their phone away. Because you paid your money at this point. I don't know what your chances are of getting a refund if you're already at the show and then you do something that gets you kicked out. Is that a legitimate way for the band to handle it?
If their policy, and it's stated as you either walk in on your ticket or in this case on the seats, that you're going to be kicked out if you do it.
I mean, that seems like you're getting enough.
Yeah, there's no recourse. My only question is, what if you went to the show, saw that sign, and were like, nope, not for me. Can you then walk to the box office and say, I had no idea about this. I want to leave. Give me my money.
Oh, interesting. I don't know about that.
Huh.
I don't know. I do know that a lot of bands get super frustrated by this, though.
Sure.
Even bands where they don't have this rule, mm-hmm. occasionally they'll say, just for one song, everybody put your phones down.
Yeah.
And just sort of be here and enjoy.
I would hate it if I were looking out, and I used to be able to look out and see my fans enjoying my performance on stage or being, you know, in the best concerts, everybody's on the same page and everybody's grooving to the music at the same time, and it's a community event. And I bet it doesn't feel like that anymore when you look out and it's just 400 people staring up at their cell phones. I can understand why that would really kind of take the wind out of your sails if you're on stage trying to put on a show. We want to take some calls on this, by the way. We want to know what your opinion is, pro or con for the band or the fans that go. What do you think about this? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Amy writes in, I was kicked out of an A Perfect Circle concert about 10 or 12 years ago. A-holes even tried to take my camera. I was really ticked off at the time, but I understand the policy. It's annoying when you're trying to watch a show and everyone around you is filming the thing. It's so much better to live in the moment. That's what Amy says, but maybe not everybody agrees with Amy. Maybe some people think it's better to have a memory of that show, to have a souvenir of that show on my phone that I can look back on to remember, to post, to have fun with. Maybe that's part of the concert experience for a lot of people.
I feel like you can do both. I feel like you can take some pictures and for the most part be there with your phone down.
Yeah, be present.
And enjoy. And then, you know, you'll have some pictures and then, but you enjoy the show.
Maybe A Perfect Circle can say, listen, after song 3, we're all going to pose. Take your picture, then put it back in your pocket.
That's not a terrible idea either.
I have seen that at shows, by the way.
What?
And by the way, that is very common for the professional photographers at a show where they say you have the first 2 songs to take all your pictures. And then we move on.
Yeah, it's 3, and then they get kicked out of the pit.
Yeah. Right. So maybe there is some sort of contrast. So there are a lot of different angles of this story from the band's perspective, from the fans' perspective. We want to hear what you think on both or either. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls. Speaking of no photos at concert policies, Allie, you were starting to say the song ended. We couldn't continue the conversation. Same deal at Prince?
When I saw Prince during his million show run at the Forum, they came on beforehand, there will be no pictures, blah, blah, blah. And security would come up and they'd flash a flashlight in your face. No pictures.
But that's all they'd do.
Yeah, they wouldn't kick you out.
Yeah,
but
right.
If I went to Prince and it said that on the back of every seat, this will result in ejection, that phone would not have come out of my pocket.
You would have been much more stealth about it. Probably. Is what you mean.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. We're taking some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. How about Alta Loma, please? And Dave, he's on line 4. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Right. I just wanted to put my 2 bits in. I went to the Chester Bennington Memorial. I went to the Tool concert. And I got to say, every single one of them was a great visual, a great concert to be had. But everybody around me's got their phone in their hands, and it was just so distracting. I mean, why wouldn't you want to listen to these great artists put their heart out there for you instead of dicking with your phone?
Look, I agree with you, but I also do understand that a big part of the experience for a lot of people these days is to share their show with their friends and to have something to be able to put up on Instagram to say, hey, look, I'm at this show and it's awesome. I get that that's part of the deal for some people. It may not be how you do it, but is it unfair that other people can't do that if that's their preference?
You know, I'd say it's artist preference. Maynard from Tool has been very...
Yeah. He's been very clear.
...etc. Yeah.
Well, since you're a big Tool fan, let me ask you, why do you think this rubs Maynard so wrong?
Just like going to the Tool concert, anybody that was there showed that he wasn't in the forefront. He was in the background because it's a full experience. And he wants the fan to be a part of the experience instead of be distracted or distracting others that way.
All right. Fair enough. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Glendora, line three. Let's say hi to Donna, shall we?
Hey, Donna.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because I think it's really important. As a music fan and a big concert fan, you know, I pay a lot of money for these tickets. I think I should have the right to capture these memories. And I'm also in marketing. And I just think it's dumb for bands to not want the fans to share their pictures, you know, and that just gets people more excited about going to see them. I just don't understand it. Why do they have this policy?
I think the problem is that the people who are the extreme ones, the ones who hold up their phones and they're mm-hmm. recording the entire thing in video and they never put their phone down. Those
so then
people,
you just
I think
reach over and smack the phone out of their hand.
See, right? No one thought about that.
Right? Slap the phone out of their hands. I
so
like it.
So, Donna, I'm not disagreeing with you, but just to play devil's advocate, why do you think it's your choice what the policy should be and not the band's choice?
Because I'm doing them a favor. And again, I pay a lot of money for these tickets. I love A Perfect Circle. I will never go to one of their concerts after hearing what I heard. I've always wanted to see Tool, but I won't go see them either. I just think it's a right. I pay the money as a fan. I pay for that right.
All right, let me just add, though, that I can hide my money in books because people don't read.
I don't think that's the point.
I heard that.
Really? Is that not the takeaway?
Yeah,
all right, thank you, Donna. Appreciate the call. All right, we got time for a couple more real fast. Who do you like here, Kevin?
I mean, everybody's sort of saying the same thing. Let's go to Adam in Huntington Beach. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
So I could go either way, but in all honesty, my big thing is a lot of times, like let's say the Chester Bennington benefit.
Yes.
That's a one-of-a-kind concert. That's not a tour. That's not something that's going to go around.
Right.
And they may not want everybody to videotape or take pictures because maybe they want to make their own video to release for people to buy. And I'm not saying that to make money or anything like that, but they may want people to purchase that to have that memoir. And they don't want a video full of the crowd holding their phones up or people releasing that stuff on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook.
I do. I hate to jump in, but in that particular case, I mean, that show was streamed on YouTube. It was being broadcast live, if that makes a difference to your argument about that particular show.
No, and that, I mean, that's a good point as well. You're right. But some of the other concerts, like I'm a big Nine Inch Nails fan, and I've never been to one of their concerts where they said no video, no photos. But Nine Inch Nails, they videotape for DVD releases almost at all their concerts,
right.
Mainly because of their visuals and stuff like that they do.
Right.
And it is a good part to just be there, be in the experience, because, I mean, are you really going to get the full effect of it while you're staring at your phone, making sure you got the perfect shot? You know, and it can be distracting when you got thousands of phones up in the air, all those lights are shining back in your face, because not everybody can afford a front row ticket. Some
sure.
people are in the back stands, and
so
all
you can
get
watch the phone in front of you instead. It's yeah. just like being there.
Well, that's true.
All right, I think that's our.
Well, 6.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Excited for our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after the top of the hour. You know, he was on the Rachel Ray Show yesterday.
Oh, does Omar know?
I don't know. Yeah,
don't tell
find
him.
Out about that. I think he was unveiling his new holiday bundt cake recipe, but I'm not 100% sure.
Stop it.
So we'll find out what the doc was doing there, and we got a topic for him as well coming up. Plus, we got some more tickets for the K-Rock takeover of Six Flags Magic Mountain that you can win as well. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
What if he was? What if he was on revealing his holiday bundt cake?
That would be the best.
That would be the best.
Nothing would make
deal
me happier.
Ever. Oh, goodness. Hey, what are you guys doing on New Year's Day?
Don't know.
Maybe you're hungover, laying on the couch, you want to watch something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? HBO has just announced, starting January 1st, 2018, The Wizarding World of Harry Potter will now have a new home. All 8 movies in the Harry Potter film franchise will arrive on HBO, joining the hit prequel, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yay!
Right? Yeah, that's going to be the first time that all 9 films set in the fantastical wizarding world will air on a single network, unedited and commercial-free. And you can then stream them anytime on HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO On Demand. And
Chip has never seen one of those.
Nor has Bean.
Really?
Nor has Allie.
What is happening?
terrible people.
Right? And let's
those
say,
are good movies.
Let's say you go to London and somebody that's married to Bean and somebody that produces a show in the other room.
Right. I have no idea who you're talking about, but continue.
Are so excited to go on this Harry Potter world tour thing, blah, 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 where you go and I think you shake hands with the Hobbit. I don't know what happened on this. And you say, hey, I'm going to bow out of that. You guys have fun. And it was like I murdered a puppy in front of these people. They were so let down by me.
Well, it's a great movie series.
I have heard
it's
that.
It's really great.
I have heard the books are wonderful.
They are.
And I love the little redhead girl, Hermione. She is a doll.
Okay. Did Kevin just say that the books were good?
I did.
Not only did he read the books, he has seen the movies and he has seen the show in concert, right?
I have seen the show in concert.
Yes.
That's right.
But
at the
you
Hollywood
read
Bowl.
The books? You read that many books?
I didn't read all the books.
Okay. You skimmed.
Okay.
I read the first one, but for me, that's like reading all the books in the world.
Yeah,
that's an
for
investment.
The rest of you.
Right.
Right, exactly. But once you found out they were making movies out of them, you said, oh, good. Reading is for losers. I don't have to read
God,
anymore.
I don't have to read anymore. But the movies are great.
I've heard that.
I mean, I guess. I might,
they are.
I might check it out. Okay. Look, I've heard nothing but great things
How
about the
movies. How are you married to one of the biggest Harry Potter fans and you've never seen it?
She came late to the franchise also.
Okay.
She wasn't that interested in it at the time, but kind of got sucked in at a later date and now loves, loves, loves the movies and says everything that Kevin is saying.
Sucked in.
Which is that they're great, but maybe I'll check
maybe
them out.
Maybe she's watching it one time and you walk through the room, maybe stay.
Right? Maybe
you know
sit
what
down.
It is. Just sit and have a little view.
I think there are a lot of franchises, big movie franchises with multiple chapters that people who never got in on it go, it's too much, it's too big.
Too much
a project.
Has happened.
You know, like,
don't
who's
you dare.
Who's going to sit down
don't.
And start watching? What?
If you're going to bring up Star Wars, don't even talk about those people. They shouldn't live.
That's an example. I was going to say Lord of the Rings, but it's the same sort of thing, which is something that has so much history that maybe you just don't want to even put your toe in there because you realize it's going to take over the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
You put your toe in a movie?
Yeah, you just dip it in there.
Expression.
And move.
How does that work?
The point is that you're going to be able to see all the Harry Potter movies in order on HBO New Year's Day. Right.
Right?
That's the takeaway here.
That is the takeaway. Okay. And I understand there are people that love those movies. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. It's a lot like when I brought you this story at 5 a.m. and said, this is the best news of my life. And you all looked at me like I was insane.
Well, I mean, this is the best news of my life is a pretty big tease.
I think a lot of people will understand.
Okay.
That when I woke up and saw this news and I was like, this is like Christmas. It's like your sweet 16. It's like you gave birth. It's everything. The Discovery Channel announced its, thank you, its Emmy-winning series, Cash Cab, is returning. Is returning Monday.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Monday, December 4th. Monday, December 4th, with host Ben Bailey.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
I'm sorry.
Back behind the wheel.
The best news of your life.
I lived for Cash Cab.
Why?
Oh, because it was one of the best stories.
Why?
It's essentially, you get into a cab and you think you're going to go to your destination. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Ben Bailey turns around and he's like, welcome to Cash Cab. Lights come on, and all of a sudden, you're asked trivia questions.
Why?
Well, because that's the point of the game. The dollar amount goes up.
Why?
You can yell out the window, ask people questions if you don't know the answer, and then if you get answers wrong, there's a really good chance he's dropping your ass off somewhere.
Where you don't want to be.
Where you don't want to go.
Now,
it's the best show. I used to wait. I told the story earlier. I'd let cabs zoom by me in New York because they were like the little yellow cabs.
Oh, that's
I wanted
not a cash
no.
cab.
I wanted the van. I wanted to get in. So I would say, no, let's wait for the next cab. Friends would be miserable.
Of course.
They're like, we're not getting
I'm
in the cash cab. I'm like, you don't know that. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And
Do you think that there's too much excitement for the cash cab?
No.
Okay.
Not enough.
Just checking.
And guest stars reportedly on this series. Matthew Perry, Brooke Shields, thank you, Scott Bakula, Gilbert Gottfried, Dave Foley, and Curb Your Enthusiasm's Jeff Garlin and Susie Essman. I mean, you guys, Cash Cab is back.
It's a good TV game show.
It is so good.
How can you care so little about Harry Potter and so much about a freaking cab game show?
I mean, that is a great question.
Okay.
Some
best news of her life.
It's so great.
Right?
Ben Bailey is such a great host.
Sure.
Why?
Well, he's just very charismatic and he makes you feel like you're a part of it.
Why?
I don't know. It's just who he is.
Some
birthdays. Eric Dane is 45. Actor Lou Ferrigno is 66.
How has life been for you up to today?
Mugs asked him that one time.
He literally asked him that.
Best question ever.
Oh, it's the best. Vanessa Lachey, did I say her? Yep, Nick Lachey, her husband. Both birthdays.
Why?
Well, they were both born on the same day.
Oh.
Different ages, though. French Montana is 33. And actor Finn Cole from two of our favorite shows, right? Animal Kingdom,
right.
We love.
Love.
Peaky Blinders, we love. Can't get enough of it.
Animal Kingdom's real good.
Peaky Blinders rules. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Grumman. Welcome to the show with Speed.
Dr. Drew just told Allie she's not well.
Yep,
something we've all known. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock.
It is time for our weekly visit with the good doctor, Dr. Drew Pinsky, drdrew.com. How are you, sir?
I told her she's not well, honey. I was kind
of
saying,
honey. Very
yeah,
sweet.
You're trying to
it
break it to her gently,
sweet.
Right?
Yeah. She's not a well lady.
Right.
Before we get into what I think will be a fascinating topic, we were having a discussion before you came on about your appearance on the Rachel Ray Show, which I apologize to say none of us saw.
Thank you.
Were you or were you not on there debuting your new recipe for a holiday bundt cake?
I was not.
Oh.
I was there talking about toilet paper. How dare you?
That's toilet paper better.
Why were you on Rachel Ray talking about TP?
There's a producer over there I really love, and she does a great job. And I have a very kind of fun and interesting relationship with Rachel. And so whenever I'm in New York, they pull me in there, and we will just do some sort of weird little piece where we interact with couples. And it always ends up very funny. And in this case, they were fighting over which way to put your toilet paper roll. Right?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure. Over, obviously.
Under, right?
So in preparation for that presentation, I said, you know what? I happen to have seen something, which was the original 1891 patent for toilet paper. And I pulled the patent out, and I showed it to the couple.
You are the biggest dork I've ever met in my life.
Well, you work with one. Now, you know one when you see one. So, I bet you were delighted by this. Kevin is horrified, but I know you're delighted. I pulled out the original, the whole diagram, the full 1891 patent application, and the toilet paper goes forward on that patent application.
Yep. Mad respect, Dr. Drew.
I like it.
That's fantastic.
Insane.
And by the way, even not knowing that about the patent, not seeing the original paperwork on this, anyone who doesn't put the toilet paper over is a savage, right?
I agree. Just a complete animal.
I mean, come on.
I sense backwards with Allie. I sense it.
No, I'm definitely over, and to the point where I will change it out at friends' houses. I will move their toilet paper, and I will then alert them as I walk back in the room, you're doing it wrong, I fixed it, don't let it happen again.
Oh my God, you're a perfect house guest.
Wow. Do you ever get invited back for a second visit?
Not usually.
Okay.
No.
All right, well, good. I'm glad we settled that. So we've already accomplished something. Let's talk about the hottest thing in the world right now, the opioid crisis, Dr. Drew, which we've talked about many times in this program, is a very serious thing. In fact, I think the president even declared it a national health emergency a couple of weeks ago. And we all know about this. It's people getting addicted to painkillers. They're being prescribed too freely. You've talked about that. You build up your resistance. You take more and more. And the next thing you know, you're in super bad shape, right? It's a crisis.
Yeah.
Now, is this a solution? We are hearing about a plant now that comes out of Malaysia that apparently is having remarkable results helping people break that addiction. What can you tell us about it?
Well, unfortunately, Kratom, we're talking about Kratom.
Kratom.
And this forever was available in head shops over the counter. I mean, you could get it right next to the bath salts. In Sweet. I remember I used to, when I was doing stories for this for CNN, I used to go up to Hollywood Boulevard and just, I would buy Kratom and Spice just to prove that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would do that, they always go, oh, this other stuff's even better. Try this Kratom. This is, you got to buy this too. It's so very popular. And that was probably 5 years ago, and then it did indeed catch on in the sort of underground sort of market. And the thing about Kratom, the problem, listen, I have no problem if somebody's able to get off opiates with pot, with cannabis, with edibles, with Kratom. If they're able to actually taper themselves off the powerful opiates, meaning the pills or the heroin or the fentanyl, more good on them. Unfortunately, that's the vast minority. For the most part, Kratom is an opiate. It's another opiate. Anything that binds at the endorphin receptor, anything that binds at the opiate receptor, is just addictive as the next opiate. Now, the weaker ones sometimes are easier to taper down off of, but most people, here's the problem, stay on the Kratom. So they're just switching from one opiate to the next.
Oh, so you get addicted to it. Now, would you say, I mean, you say that they're all opiates, so they're all, I don't want to say bad, I don't want to put words in your mouth,
addictive.
But would you...
Addictive. Addictive, all, okay. They're not equally addictive because there's different power to each of them, but they're all flat out addictive. There will never be a non-addictive opiate.
Would you rather a patient comes in to see you addicted to Oxy or addicted to Kratom?
Kratom. Any day.
So
that's
it
the
is
point.
A little
that's,
better.
That's the point. It is weaker. It is more likely to be tapered off. But the fact is, it doesn't tend to work that way. It's people looking for a sort of easier, softer, kinder way off the opiates, aren't really interested in treatment and recovery. They want a magic potion, a magic plant, and it just doesn't work like that.
But the stories always come along with something like this, where people say, it changed my life, it's magic, I can't believe how great it is. And whatever they're saying, you go, can't be that good.
Right, it seems a little overstated. And listen, if there are cases like that out there, and there probably are, I mean, you know, everyone's very different with their own genetics and their biology and the relationship with these substances. And I bet there are people out there that are using low-dose Kratom, and their lives are a lot better than when they were using heroin. There's no doubt in my mind. The problem is that's a house of straws, a house of cards. It eventually crumbles. They eventually ramp back up. They eventually, because the disease is still active. It's not a remission. It's just sort of a ramping down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. What is the government's position, the FDA or the CDC, whoever, on Kratom? Are they they're allowing it to be sold? Are they allowing it to be prescribed?
I'm certain they'll throw themselves into it. I know they're getting involved and evaluating. I don't know to what extent whether they're going to schedule it or, you know, I'm certain they won't allow it over the counter. But it really, most of it is you know, black market, you know, sort of internet-based anyway, and that they're not going to be able to do much about that. The question is, will they ever allow physicians to use it in a therapeutic way? And I'm sure those studies are underway.
Gotcha. How long do those studies take?
Well, 3 to 5 years, the minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
So black market.
All right. So hang on, Kevin. Just keep doing what you're doing until then.
Kevin, black market.
And the government.
Allie, black market.
Okay. And the government, have they ruled on toilet paper?
Well, evidently, there was patents that they issued for the toilet paper rolling forward. And here's the comedy. The guy in the couple who wanted the toilet paper backwards started literally arguing with me. He goes, no, that's a patent for perforated. It's because it's perforated. Look at perforated foil. It's all, everything's perforated. It goes forward. Oh, my God.
That's fantastic.
Dr. Drew has lost it, you guys.
He's very angry.
You can go to drdrew.com to find all the great podcasts in the network, including his live appearances as well. Don't forget, you can hear him with Mike Cathwood Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And if you want to see a doctor in the comfort of your own home, you should get the Heal app. It's available at the App Store or Google Play. Doc, great chat. We'll do it again next week. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
One final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show in for Ralph Garman. Here's out.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of heat for never seeing the Harry Potter movies.
You should.
Yeah.
You should get heat.
Well, so should Chip and so should Bean.
Correct.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you missed that, HBO is going to release all of the Harry Potter movies on January the 1st.
So you could catch up all in one day.
Exactly. And I will. However, I mean, cash cab. Coming back, right? December 4th on Discovery. People think that maybe I'm a little too excited about that.
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I am. But you know who else is a huge Harry Potter fan?
Everyone in the world?
True. including Drake.
Oh.
Which is really interesting. He's a huge Harry Potter fan, but even with all his money and fame, the one thing he can't get his hands on is a first edition copy of the book that started it all, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Are you aware of how much that book, the first edition, could go for?
No.
I was stunned by that story, Allie.
Stunned. $160,000
for a book.
If you can find it on sale. Yeah.
And the reason I'm stunned is because we're not talking about a first edition of War and Peace, okay, or something else from 200 years ago. We're talking about a book that I feel like millions of people bought from just 25 years ago. So I don't understand how it could possibly be worth so much.
You'd think a ton of people would have it.
Yes.
Right?
Which would mean it would not be that expensive.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't print that many because they didn't know it was going to be.
Like first editions? Yeah. Maybe they didn't. They didn't know it would
be a hit.
Maybe
they didn't know it would take off like that.
So you think like maybe the first pressing they thought, oh, it's a kid's book, we'll make 20,000 of them.
Yeah, maybe.
And then it hit big and now they start making a million of them.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It must have been because otherwise there's no other explanation for that.
Yeah. Well, Drake says, quote, my birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll buy it for myself as a treat. Oh, that's his treat.
I can't think of a book I would spend $160,000 for.
You can't? Really?
Can't.
Like, that's a hot take?
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess if you have Drake money, it's all relative. You know, for him,
yeah,
that's probably
true.
$50.
That's true. Good point.
I wouldn't spend $50 on a book.
Yeah, I don't think I would
right?
either.
Right?
Reading's dumb.
Right. It's for losers.
You guys, congratulations to Bob Saget. He posted a picture on Instagram. Said, love the people in this picture. The most loving and legendary George Shapiro, Katie Killian, and of course, my gal Kelly. In case you're wondering, we were celebrating our engagement, and I know George and I will be very happy together. Of course, they were celebrating his engagement. He is now engaged to his girlfriend, who hosts a streaming series called Eat, Travel, Rock. Her name is Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Rizzo. There it is right there. And wow, they look really cute together. And he looks really happy. And that is great. I like when people find love. I don't know what it's like. But I've heard
You've
it's
heard
great,
that it was great.
And the picture is adorable. And I hope they're happy together.
He's a beautiful man. A beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. He is a beautiful man.
He is
That's
a beautiful
true.
Man. So congratulations, Bob Saget. And congratulations, Morrissey. Tomorrow is Morrissey Day in Los Angeles. The LA City Council has decided to salute Morrissey for his two sold-out shows at the Hollywood Bowl this weekend. And he's going to be presented with an official commemorative certificate before his show Friday by Mayor Eric Garcetti.
How? Let's take a guess.
Yeah.
How little
does he care?
Is he going to care about that?
I can't even imagine his people having to go to him and say, just so you know, before the show, we're gonna hand you a commemorative certificate.
Smile.
Right? You know he's got to be like, really? Are you serious? But you can't say no, right? You can't say I don't want it.
I mean, I feel like Morrissey could.
He probably could.
Yeah, he could just say no.
But good luck, Mayor Garcetti, doing that tomorrow. Morrissey will be back in L.A. November 17th through the 19th. He's going to be hosting a pop-up shop at 8250 Melrose Avenue, celebrating the release of his new album, Low in High School. And, of course, if you were lucky enough to get night two tickets of K-Rock's Acoustic Christmas, he will be the headliner that night. So much Morrissey in L.A.
How about that?
I like it. I like it a lot. Let's talk some birthdays today. Wrestler Chris Jericho is 47. Singer Cisco is 39. Actor Lou Ferrigno is 66.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
That's what Lou heard in his head after Beer Bug asked that question.
Nick Lachey is 44, and his wife, Vanessa Lachey, is 37. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show is beat.
Thank you, Allie. And to drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we keep it 100. We're going to talk to the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chad Smith, who's got a great new series out of concerts in amazing places. And the first one is Foo Fighters in Acropolis.
Oh, my.
How about that?
Kevin, you know where the Acropolis is?
Greece. Don't be stupid.
You're astonishing me today.
It's really impressive.
You read a book and you know where a thing is. It's amazing.
See, this is the important thing, kids. Set the bar low. So basically, you just have to be able to read something once, and then they are impressed. Movie beat, because it's Friday, we've got your Morrissey tickets. We've got RJ Bell in Las Vegas with his picks for Week 10 of the NFL.
Don't hit the button. Oh, you had something else. Go ahead.
And comedian Gilbert Gottfried.
Okay. All right, now don't hit the button.
Okay.
Dave had a great idea, and I just want to lay it out there and see what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it might be fun tomorrow to do a shout-out to our Kevin and Bean listeners who are veterans. Because Veterans Day weekend is, as you know, is this weekend. It's Saturday, November 11th. He's inviting you, if you'd like to give a shout-out to military veterans in your life, to call the Afro Line. And we'll play them back during the show tomorrow.
Bean, I think this is a great idea, but let's give someone else credit for it.
Well, it was Dave's idea.
I know, but let's give it to Chip or anyone else just because Dave's hard to live with.
We can never say thank you enough to our men and women who have worn the uniform. So we thought it might be a fun opportunity tomorrow to get it on the radio for all to hear. So if you've got a military veteran in your life that you would like to leave a shout-out for, we'll be playing it back all throughout the show tomorrow in honor of Veterans Day weekend. All you can do is just anytime you think of it, call the Afro Line anytime today at 323-520-AFRO. 323-520-AFRO with your shout out for the veteran in your life. And we'll play it back tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.
Hit the button.
Now you can hit the button, yeah.